Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of October, recording at a late 9:50 p.m. British Summer Time. And apologies to that subscriber who emailed in that he had to go to bed at 10 o'clock UK time and was always dismayed if he couldn't hear my broadcast. Obviously, clearly it puts you to sleep. But here we go, better late than never. Key thing on stock markets here today is that following Friday's strength, we had some explosive moves in the Asian markets, not least being the Japanese stock market up 2.68% on the Nikkei. That's put my speculative long position in December Nikkei futures into profit for just about the first time since I bought them. I had two purchases there, and I like the dynamics. It looks like it's going the right way now. And of course that second section index continues to, well, that provided the early signal, as I mentioned, and illustrated last Thursday. Now, well, I also mentioned Friday, and that was a long broadcast, so this is a point that's important to repeat here tonight, in that while people are being emboldened by the strength of the markets, and I think that's it's probably right to be so, we have really seen some phenomenal strength. There's one more little test that it does need, that they need to pass. Well, at least one more test, but this is perhaps an important one. Previously in the year, when we had seen good rallies with markets pushing back up towards their range highs, they would get a penultimate peak, in other words, they'd lose momentum, react for a few days, then regroup, push back up through that earlier high, go a little bit higher, and then fail, usually quite dramatically, with some big downward dynamics. That's why I said on Friday that we really do need to see these stock markets, well, we need to see technical action, bullish technical action. Markets need to certainly hold the gains that we saw on Friday and preferably extend them a bit this week. I said on last Friday that by this coming Friday we would know even more about, we would know a good deal more about whether or not my script for a rally carrying at least into year-end and probably into the first quarter of 2005 is alive and well. And the action so far, say, it's I really can't I can't fault it. But we do have some short-term overbought conditions, and we still have some prior resistance up at these levels. But you see what's happening. The ranks of the bears are breaking one by one. And the people who had been waiting for a pullback to buy, well, they had a very brief pullback, and they are under pressure to jump in. Now, for instance, I'm just going to run through the stock market indices that I had a look at today that all hit new highs for the year today. And they are, in no particular sequence, Sweden, Belgium, those two have raced ahead actually, Austria, and Ireland within Europe. In Asia, we had Indonesia, the Philippines, and Singapore. I'm talking about their main stock market indices. And in Africa, we had South Africa. And in South America, we had Chile, and in Central America, Mexico. So they all hitting new highs for the year today. Now, a point I've made is that the August reaction lows, were extremely important to my knowledge, and I'm pretty sure this is right. I don't think I've missed anything, but to my knowledge, only Japan's second section index actually dipped below its August low. It was an atypical performance among stock market indices, but it only did so for, I think, part of one day, and then rebounded, scoring a downside downside failure and has continued to push higher. So the action here is really very bullish. Don't fight the tape. If we get stock market indices are hitting new highs and there are no downward dynamics breaking the upward momentum, then we have consistent trends, and a consistent trend, as I've said so many times, is a trend in motion. In other words, it's going higher. Now, possible problems. Well, let's see. If I was really bending over backwards, we could say that Wall Street gave up a lot of its gains here today, but the Dow up, I think, 70 points at one stage. It closed up only 23, almost 24. S&P gave about half of its gain, closed up 367. NASDAQ, I'm not sure where that was on the highs, but it closed up 10. So in the plus column, following those impressive gains that we had seen on Friday, but it did give up all those three indices did give up some of their gains, as did most of the European indices here today, but they still closed with quite respectable gains, as I say, especially on the heels of the strength that we had seen Friday. Other possible hurdles, although what I just mentioned is not much of a hurdle, it takes some really clear downward dynamics to significantly check the momentum beyond a brief pause. Well, there's the oil price, $49.82. That's still pretty firm. And then there was Bush's stumbling performance in the debate last week. And we'll see, you know, we did have that Newsweek poll, admittedly a volatile poll, but that catapulted Kerry back into the lead. And as I've mentioned over and over and over again and illustrated so many times with the historic evidence chart, that if Bush looks like winning, that's going to be bullish. That's not a political comment. It's just the better the devil you know than the one you don't know. And with Kerry, that investors know they're pretty well guaranteed some tax hikes. And that won't do the market any favors. So if it looked as if Bush has snatched defeat from the jaws of victory here, and the polls that come out later in the week will be important if there's a consensus. And if Bush really has slipped badly in the polls, then that would act as a leash on this rally, I suspect. But bottom line, the balance of the technical action remains extremely positive. There's still people on the sidelines who are under pressure to get into these stock markets. What else have we got here today? The euro dollar, and that was interesting. Got back up, as you know, last week. Back up just nudged above that 124 level, held it for two closes, and then was easing on Friday. And today, well, closed here above the lows, but 122.86 as I speak. That's down 131. So that's fallen back. Dollar stronger in here today. Everybody says the dollar has to go down against the yen, yet it's up 0.44 in here today to 110.99, up 0.45 now. Sterling, a little bit softer against the dollar generally. And sterling has been softer against the euro recently. A lot of people feel that sterling's not going to be able to maintain this level. All sorts of reasons, from growth prospects to the oil factor. In other words, the UK is now net importer of oil once again. we'll see. Again, most of these patterns are still ranging overall. I'm keeping an eye on the Australian dollar. That's firming here once again. And talk about roaring stock markets. Well, let's see, that Australian stock market, I think that must have hit a new high as well. All right, what else can I mention? In the commodity markets, now, with the euro's weakness here today, dollar strength, we did see some of these metals pull back. Well, most of the metals pulled back a bit here today. And I'm looking at gold down to 414.05. Platinum down 30. Silver was whacked here as well. Remember that it accelerated upwards on Thursday or Friday, hovered there for a day, and then down today back to 677. Still had a pretty good run recently. But they're overbought in the short term, and they were up near some prior resistance, and a lot of people were extrapolating the dollar's decline against the euro that we saw last week, and it hasn't happened, at least not today. So they backed off. I don't think there's any serious downside risk. It's always a chance. Well, if you got the dollar, beg your pardon, if you got the euro moving under 120 against the US dollar, that would weigh on these metals, pulling them back, but that would just create another buying opportunity at these levels. They're a little bit pricey in the short term, in my view, so I'm not tempted. Now, one of my purchases, recent purchases, a couple of my recent purchases, which were premature, I think it was a fortnight ago. I was buying the corn. Very depressed market. It's sagging here a little bit. Sagged today, down 3.25 cents. I think I said the other day that it could easily get down to this 200 cent level. It's at 202.75. Soybeans also sagged a bit in here today, down 9.25 to 525.25. I may buy some more corn down here, although the more prudent thing to do is to wait until we get a clear upper dynamic. Remember when I bought that corn the week before last? I think it was because it was on an intraday small upside key day reversal, but it didn't maintain or it didn't close with the gains, or in other words, it gave up a number of the a good portion of the gains, and therefore it didn't qualify as a key. So we didn't have the upward dynamic that I was anticipating as I bought it, or that existed as I bought it. It failed to maintain it. But nevertheless, these are very stretched on the downside, and I think that the next big move will be upwards, which is why I may well move in and pick up a little bit more of the corn. Natural gas, which I still own, today and on Friday, it got uncomfortably close to my in-the-money stop, but closed well above it. Currently 6.75 on the November contract. Looks like it's consolidating. Coffee a bit easier in here. The Arabica contract, that's a U.S. contract, down 3.95. So that has fallen further back. Remember, I got stopped out of that at a profit. And I've got an open position loss on the London coffee contract, which is nudged below its lows of the last 5 weeks or so, 6.26. So that really does need to have a swift turnaround here tomorrow or on Wednesday to indicate a downside failure, in which case I'll probably pick up a little bit more. Have an excellent evening, what's left of it.